Everybody that loves the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Take your Bibles, go to Genesis in the 35th chapter. The Lord laid this message on my heart last week in Mississippi. So I did not pick it out for y'all. The Holy Ghost picked it out. It's an old sermon. I hadn't looked at the study in many years. But the Lord laid it on my heart. And tonight, without a doubt, He got it burning in my heart to preach. And we love Brother Lawson. And we love his family. We love his pastor, Brother Wampler. And there's Brother Wagner back there. And we love the preacher's oldest boy. He killed a goose one time. Shot his head off, I think, is what happened. And yeah, it's serious business. If you're a goose, you're no friend around here. We don't want people. Anyway, you got to go to IHOP with us at midnight, and there's more of this. Hallelujah. Hadn't the Lord been good to us? Amen. Brother Hutto, good to see you tonight. Right in front of them is good friends of ours, just moved here from Kansas, Brother Wesley Crouch, and we've been friends for about 20 years.
Amen.
Went out there many years to Manhattan, and he was a song leader and wore a bunch of hats, and it's great to be in meeting with them tonight. And we love the Lancasters. Boy, I'm telling you what, they pick my spirit up every time I'm around them.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
We got to be on the altars of Camp Zion for a little while. I come in for a couple of years. But y'all still there? They've been going many years. I was driving from Kansas and the lower part in Oklahoma. Had to stop in Arkansas for a day, and then I drove through the weather and just set my GPS until I couldn't go no further for the nearest Holiday Inn. And I was going to do a Motel 6, but I thought I wanted to see what Southern Baptist and Methodist felt like for one time. Super 8 is not, but it's a lie. At least number 6 didn't lie. They just said motel. And number 7 didn't even try. Like, you guys both failed. I'm not even going to try. Number 7 stayed totally out. So I punched in a Holiday Inn, told Jennifer to pray for the month. In this economy, I think that room was $719 just to stay for 2 hours. But anyhow, I'm telling this to Brother Lancaster and to some that know what Camp Zion, Percy Ray, Myrtle, Mississippi. Lord been working some things in our heart, eternal thing. Buried my dad last September. And God's done 2 or 3 big things. And He's been working. And so I punched that thing in, and it was getting dark and it was raining. And when I pulled off, Brother Lancaster, it said Myrtle.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't know where I was. That it was dark and rain. I just going till I couldn't. And the Lord said, "Me and you've got an appointment in the morning." Hallelujah. And he was just talking about a honey bun and chocolate, right? The hot chocolate. But anyway, then he said, then we got another appointment. And I went into the old church, seen Brother Greg Bray. I was looking for Brother Logan. Brother Bray let me go in the old church and had a prayer meeting. Folks, if you'll let the Lord, He'll guide your steps.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, He's good at being God.
Amen.
I bless the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Now, whatever Brother Pierce told you, the real reason he ain't here is he ain't booked and he's an evangelist and he went on to the house to get some rest. Just get the record straight there. And exactly where I'd be. Hallelujah. 26 years, the Lord's been faithful to us.
Amen.
And we evangelists have to pace ourselves. We have to go where the Lord sends us, and then we have to stop and rest when the Lord makes us. And every evangelist I know just wish he could go home. And every pastor I know wishes he could get out of town. If y'all all want to just trade ministries for 1 year, we'll all be so happy. We'll go home and love it, and y'all will get away from home and love it. Put that church in your rear view mirror. If you don't put your church in your rear view mirror 2 or 3 times a year, you'll lose your mind. Pastors. Now, members, that was not for you. Yeah. Because all of y'all putting it in your rear view mirror is why we're losing our mind. Folks, you better send your pastor away and pay for the trip. Don't make him pay for that. Let him go sit in a meeting. Let him go sit on the coastline when it ain't spring break or summer or Florida. I just find a pond, fellas. Just find a pond. Pray for a wind. They'll whip up a little. You better let your... If Jesus said, come ye apart into a desert place and rest ourselves for a while. I heard a preacher making fun of preachers taking vacations one time and said, well, I don't want to get into it, but I found the word resort. Said Jesus oft times resorted thither. It's a resort. Since you laughed, you have to pay for the first 2 nights. It's a resort. And you better let your preacher resort. When I sit down with deacons and churches that are interested in loving their preacher and having real church, I always recommend to them, you send him away and y'all pay for it. Let him go to a good meeting. Let him take his wife about 3 days in a row. Quarterly. The successful corporations do that for their executives. That's why they're successful corporations. And, we got to be good to our preachers. We're not going to worship men. We're going to worship Jesus. But be good to our preachers. I thank the Lord for it. And be good to your favorite evangelist at any time, the Lord. And it's definitely not Brother Piercy. He bailed on us. He's gone. Y'all just forget him. He's not even here. Don't even worry about him. Just whoever else that you may see, the Lord burdens your heart. I love Brother Stacy. He wrote that song, I'm Not Going to Hell. Been sung by more youth groups. Hallelujah. Me and Brother Pierce's been side by side for a few decades now. And I love him dearly. He gave me the COVID one time, but I love him anyway. He came right from Sally Allen's funeral. He came right from Sammy Allen's funeral. And about 490 people got the COVID there. And he brought it over with him, and me and him piled up in a big altar, and I laid on my back for 5 weeks in the month of August. And boy, howdy. COVID changed the world. Set the platform of communism for the Antichrist.
Right.
And I know a lot of people died from it in our churches. You'll never convince me that they did not have a witch's brew in a laboratory and put demons in that thing from the Far East. It's the most mental thing I've ever seen in our lifetime. And folks, my old daddy said it was pestilences of the last day. Yeah. Doctor this morning said this flu that all the children are getting, the doctor downtown Chattanooga, large children's hospital, said we've never seen children, that old doctor said, in my lifetime, be as violently sick as what this flu's doing. Amen. It's been released on us. It's been released. And you better believe you and I are living, amen, at the end of the church age. Amen. When's the Lord coming back? As soon as he gets here, I'll tell you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, will you bring me my water, son? Don't kill no gooses now. Just bring me my water. I don't believe there's anything dangerous between here and there. Thank you, son. I love you, buddy. Let's look at Genesis 35. Would you all like to stand for a moment? Let's stand. If you got bad health or a bad back, you do not have to stand. You can sit there. But in Genesis 35... let's pray. Lord, thank you for Calvary.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Lord, for loving us.
Yes.
Strengthen, stir, help, cleanse me, and strengthen me with that precious blood. God. I have a source. And we claim that tonight with the old songwriter. Lord, we love you. Meet with us this week and have your sweet way. In Jesus' name, and all the Lord's people say it.
Amen.
You can actually be seated. I want you to focus on the scriptures. Genesis 35, verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God. Underline that little word, dwell. 20 years ago, he had left home. And when he left home, that was that night that that ladder opened up out of heaven. The next morning, they made an altar stone, poured oil on it, and said, this is the very house of God, angels ascending and descending. Bethel, the house of God. Now, 20 years later, with families and flocks, he's headed back home to the Father. And he's headed back to Bethel. Underline that little word, dwell. That's the New Testament word would be abide. Now, I don't know how to tell you this, but John 15 said abide. Is it Psalm 90 or 91 or 92? I will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of His wings. Amen. We need some folks that are full of Jesus and who stay with Jesus.
Amen.
We need some folks that are living spirit-filled lives.
Yes, sir.
And it is possible for every child of God to be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
Don't be a charismatic and make it effeminate and goofy.
Right.
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Right.
Don't be an old dead independent fundamental Baptist and ignore all the doctrine and the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
And act like you're doing all this in your strength. And don't be a Southern Baptist and just settle for a sweet spirit. I need a little help.
Amen.
Amen. They're all, listen, Southern Baptist Church, for the average large worldly congregation, the only reason they're so nice is they get rid of their preacher every 18 months. About the time he figures out what they need, they get rid of him. I need a little help right there.
Amen.
And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And walk in the Spirit.
Right.
Not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And so in verse 6, so Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Verse 9, and God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. God said unto him, and he's going through that thing back there when he wrestled with God in chapter 32. Oh, look at Bethel. And in verse 7, he's named it now, when he got back, named it El Bethel. The Lord will help me for a moment. I want to preach on when Bethel becomes El Bethel. In my notes, 18 years ago, I wrote down, when this thing goes from being about God's house to being about God Himself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you know we got a lot of lost church members?
Sure.
Amen.
They're plugged into God's house, but they're not plugged into God Himself.
Right.
Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Then we got a lot of folk doing their own thing, and they've been to Bethel. Jacob did his own thing a long time.
Sure.
They've been to Bethel. They've been to God's house, but now we reach a time in Jacob's life when he goes from it being about God's house to being about God Himself.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Tell what we need.
Yes.
My old preaching daddy said one time, he said, if I could get some of y'all to love your Savior half as much as you love your church, you'd quit tearing your church up.
Right.
Amen. Huh? Well, that's a head scratcher. Unless you've been around Baptist longer than 30 minutes. He said, that's what he said. He'd taken a church up in Maryland, and it's a funny story. Taking a big church up there above Baltimore in Bel Air. And he come in there, and God providentially led him there. And his last ministry he had stayed nearly 2 decades. And when he got in there, boy, some of them didn't want to turn loose of their power and their position in the church. And that's when he made that statement. He said, if I could get some of y'all to love Jesus near as much as you love your church, you know you can make an idol out of anything.
Sure. Amen.
Right. And when you're fighting the body of Christ because you and your grandma think you own the church, honey, it's about God's house, but it ain't about God.
Amen.
And you think it's your house. Now, the Lord gave me this in Mississippi, so don't think I made it up for y'all in South Carolina. Brother Wagner's an eyewitness. He is down there with me. We got hung up down there and plowed all over these scriptures forever. But it was the will of God. And Brother Wagner, there'd have been 2 more people saved Saturday and Sunday when people got home. One in Alabama, one in Louisiana. God got in a saving way down there. Hallelujah. And, how we need this thing to go from being plugged into our church to being plugged into our Lord. He said, that don't even make sense to me. Then you probably really need this sermon. I can tell you one thing, maybe this will help you understand. I've started using different format Bibles. Now, I'm going to stay with the King James Bible, but I've started using, I picked up some Allen Bibles, picked up some Schuyler Bibles, picked up a Holman Bible out of a Southern Baptist bookstore. I got my vehicle out here and had to change my tag, and they made it SBC. So I just ride around with a Holman Bible and just feel like I'm... had it gold stamped, you know, and amen. Well, why did I start getting all them different Bibles? Because I knew my Bible. I used one wide margin Cambridge Bible, a certain type. I knew my Bible, but I didn't know the Lord's Bible. I could find anything in my Bible, but when I didn't have my Bible and just picked up the Bible, I couldn't hardly find anything.
That's right.
Just telling y'all, this little personal thing. I sing back Bagwell, taking notes on a cardboard box in the back of the church right before he preached, and had a Gideon's Bible out of the motel. He said, I always leave my Bible at home. That's when it started. Some years ago in Taylorsville, North Carolina, and he was scratching notes on a cardboard box that had a bunch of CDs in it. I don't know if he stole the CDs or not, but that's right where my mind went, kind of a criminal type mind. But, dear neighbor, and I love my Bible, and I don't want you to get confused. You ought to thank God for your Bible. It's precious. You ought to keep it and give it to your grandchildren. Let all the great preachers, which is just means faithful, godly men, let them sign your Bible. Don't let Brother Pierce see about me, but everybody else, let them. We don't even know where he's at. He's gone somewhere. But he better not be watching live stream. Yeah. He'll cut my monthly support, and he don't even support me, but he'd cut it anyway, yeah, somehow. But oh, dear time, I got news for you. I knew my Bible, but I didn't know his. And so I started, and then my eyes got a little fuzzy. Something about y'all didn't tell me what happened when you turned 50. I mean, y'all really let me down, the most of you right there. You start feeling bad when you're 40, and then you start feeling worse when you're 50. And then when you're 60, they tell you what's been bothering you the last 20 years. Your doctor writes it out. When you turn 70, you beg God to let you live. And then you turn 80, you beg God to let you die. Just leave it all up to Him. Don't y'all tell nobody what I'm fixing to say. Don't let Brother Pierce get a hold of this. Early mornings, because of the light, I started reading my phone. Lord, I feel like a liberal. That's why they put SBC on my tag out there. I'm gonna put local ministerial clergy council on the back of it. WCC, World Council Churches. And started reading my phone. And because the light's bright. And then I have a preaching Bible open, and I'll have a study Bible open, and then I'll run a reference somewhere and flip that thing. My fingers feel like a Methodist Presbyterian when I do it. They're like, we protest. I'm like, hush, I can see this. And one time they said, we're independent Baptist. I said, I know it, but just tolerate this for a little while. Oh, dear neighbor, we better make sure that we don't make idols out of these things. We don't get close to making idols. I was telling a story on Easter Sunday about a church down the road, and they chained the piano and bolted it to the wooden platform floor because there was a fine church split, one of the best we've ever cooked up in that part of West Georgia. And Sunday, where preachers from other churches came to the business meeting to vote and to fight. You know you're having a good one when seven pastors show up from around, I mean, and the thing was bolted down and they were fighting over it and it got awful. Well, if you love a piano that much, I'd say you probably done lost your song.
Sure.
Amen. Is any of this making sense? This thing better go from being about God's house to being God Himself.
Amen.
And I've looked at it from a negative angle, as if everybody's lost and mean. But sometimes it's good people that love the Lord. But it's got to get bigger than His house. It's got to be about Him.
Amen.
It's got to be about Him. So I wrote this down. When Bethel becomes El Bethel. I wrote this little thought down. Bethel. We kept Elvis for like 5 years, though. Blue Christmas, come on, once a year. I thought it was a verse in the Bible somewhere that Christmas is blue. But can everybody stop for one moment and thank God for the day He connected you to His world?
Yes, sir.
Can I just ask you this? Do you remember when He dropped the letter?
Yes.
Woo! Bethel came into Jacob's life when he was running. Lord dropped a ladder down. You know, he was a rascal. But God remembered his covenant. Did y'all know that we are really a rascal? But God remembers a blood covenant. I wasn't a fool with Jacob longer than 5 minutes. That joker obeyed his mother when she was scheming on the father.
Right.
Lied to his daddy on a sick bed. Thought it was his deathbed. I mean, he runs schemes and scams on everybody his whole life. And that night, God dropped the ladder. He was running that night. Running for his life. Because he'd run a scam on his brother. To get that birthright and that elder brother's blessing that God had done promised he's going to give him. Let me tell you and me something, friend. We better learn to wait on God.
Amen.
We better learn to trust God.
Yes, sir.
We better learn to let the Lord have his way. God may have been fixing to give him that birthright in 20 minutes. And that thing cost him 20 years of being separated. What about when Abraham listened to Sarah? That thing cost him 13 years of silence between him and God. He was 86 when he took Hagar in the tent. And they turned to Egypt for help. And he was 99 before the Lord showed up. The Lord didn't show up until they cut the flesh off all the men, even Ishmael and even all the strangers. And they put that blade to the flesh of the men. And when they circumcised all of them, then the Lord showed up again. Let me suggest to you something. If you're in the middle of a 13-year silence or a 20-year separation, why don't you get that book and cut off everything in your life that looks like flesh?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You might accelerate your reunion with God.
Amen.
But what about God? I'm about to throw these flyers and run and catch them. I'm about to get happy. God had made a covenant with Abraham, and he wouldn't leave him alone.
Amen.
God had made the same covenant to Jacob, and 20 years later, the Lord shows up.
Yes,
and by the way, blessed everything he did in those 20 years.
Amen.
Can y'all believe for 40 years the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness because of disobedience and rebellion, and yet he blessed them every day?
Yes,
God's goodness, when we're not good to him, he's got a blood covenant. There's an oath, and he ain't going to forsake his children.
Right. Amen.
Even after David sinned, brother, he repeated that covenant. He's going to keep that Davidic covenant. Amen. Oh, I got news for y'all. There's a blood covenant made at Calvary. And that's the only reason I can run to him.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I can run to him.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. There's a blood covenant.
Yes,
I act like a rascal for 2 or 3 decades. But God, don't forget his blood covenant.
Amen.
Woo! Bethel came to him when he was running. Y'all ever run from God and the Lord show up anyway?
Yes, sir.
Some of you showed up and saved you. Rest of you, he showed up and salvaged you.
Yes,
but El Bethel came, not when he was running, but when he was returning. God will bring some things to you.
Sure.
That's Bethel.
Good.
But there's some things you're going to bring to him.
Yes.
That's when the thing goes from God's house to God himself. He brought families back. He brought flocks back. He brought babies back. He brought sheep back. Amen. Now I know there was 2 wives, and God, that never was God's original plan.
Right.
We know that, but God worked around a lot of times of ignorance, Acts said.
Yeah.
He winked at a lot of ignorance, but Calvary threw the light on everything.
Yes, sir.
In the times of ignorance, he don't wink at no more.
That's right.
I don't understand all that. And the 2 wives and 2 concubines, 12 tribes came from 4 women. I don't understand all that. But God, boy, I'll tell you one thing. He sure gave us a lot of pictures of the Jews, a lot of pictures of the church. Amen. Oh, he showed us all them brides trying to tell us how wonderful the church is. Now, El Bethel will come in your life when you're returning. You'll be running from God and he'll bring heaven to you.
Right. Amen.
That's Bethel. But when you get plugged into God, you're running back to him.
Yes, sir.
And you're bringing everything he asked for.
Amen.
Oh, my. Now, Bethel came with an upward movement. And El Bethel came with a downward movement. What you talking about? When he met God, he said, this is the house of God. It was a ladder.
Right.
Taking him heavenward. But at El Bethel, it wasn't a ladder. It's a shovel. Buried a lot of things in this chapter. If you ever get plugged into God himself, there'll be more death to it before there's life to it.
Yeah.
Let's read this. Four things. In verse 4, he buried some earthly abominations. In verse 8, he buried some earthly attachments. In verse 19, he buried some earthly affections. And in verse 29, he buried some earthly authorities. Let's take a look at this for a minute. Look in verse 4. When you actually get plugged into God, you're going to bury some things. Verse 4. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand. Now that's his wives and his family, because they'd been over there with Laban and been over there with a whole bunch of folk that wasn't really plugged into God and his ways. And all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed in the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. I'm going to tell you something. We need some holy, holy people with the power of God on them.
Yes, sir.
All right, I'll say that again. We need some holy, holy people with the power of God on them.
Amen. Amen.
And brother, that terror didn't strike the heathen until they buried, hid them under a tree. Oh, ain't you glad that you can take your beer? You can take your wine. You can take all of them old nasty stronghold drugs, heroin, cocaine, marijuana, even nicotine is more. They tell me when they used to get saved at my church, they tell me that nicotine was more addictive than anything in this world except heroin. Ain't you glad you can take all them things that had you bound with chains?
Yeah. Amen.
We had a barrel burning at my church one time. People brought all their strange gods. That thing got kind of, it started with Terry and Paula. Two teenage girls in my church, and they come by themselves. Brother Wesley, they came by themselves. Brother Lancaster, both of them. They lived where they lived in the swamp there in North Florida because their parents was in prison. It's where the Florida State Penitentiary was. Five of the prisons, 36,000 prisoners around that Bradford County, Stark, Rayford, Lawdy. God had me pastoring the little First Baptist of Lawdy. Terry Griffith and Paula Brown had come on their own. Oh, it's good to be around a real church.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Terry never did dress right, you know. She just didn't know. And even when, you know, a couple times talked to her, it still didn't register. But boy, we couldn't get her off that second pew. And she loved the old church hymnal. Got her daddy saved. I hadn't thought about that in forever. He got out of prison. Come down. I remember that. Here he come with his big mustache and his 70s hair. And hit that altar and got saved.
Amen.
She never did dress what I thought a lady should dress like, but God was helping her so much.
Amen.
I figured there's something we can work on later or whatever.
Sure. Amen.
Amen. I don't get all up in a wad about some of these things, folk. Right. We better figure out where the grace of God's working.
Amen. Amen.
I've raised my daughters in the right way, but my daughters didn't have a daddy in prison.
Right. Yes.
And a mama that was gone.
Right.
And Paula Brown, her older half brother Jimmy, one of my first converts, and Jolena got saved at the steakhouse. We had a supper for the kids in the back of the banquet room at the Western Sizzlin'. One thing I'm mad about the Democrats and the Communist Chinese and all they're taking all of my toothpicks. You can't get a toothpick no more. And Waffle House closes at 10. That is not the American way. Don't recognize the nation I grew up in. And all the good restaurants closed. And I hope we get to bomb the pudding out of Communist China, which would be Washington, D.C. And then fly over, you know, and just right before the rapture, just so I can feel good. And that was for my salad bar. But we set up back there, and I brought in old Southern Baptist boy. He was King James and old-fashioned, Eddie Bumpers. His daddy's name was Harper Bumpers. If your name's going to be Harper Bumpers, you better be a wrestler or a Church of God evangelist, one or the other. Harper Bumpers. I mean, God had to call him to preach. What's that boy's name? Harper Bumpers? Yep, okay, preach. Eddie come over there. I didn't have a lick of jealousy. They'd wanted him to be the pastor. He was 6'3", and just a real good-looking man, and just a specimen of a man, and they loved him, and they wanted him to be the pastor. And he didn't feel led. And so then they moved on down in the ranks and called me the pastor. I never thought twice about it. I brought him to preach every time I could. Folks, there ain't no room for jealousy in this. Never even crossed my mind to be jealous. Somebody said, I'm surprised you're bringing him around. They wanted him to be the pastor. I said, I wished he would be. Yeah, boy, he's a good preacher. But you're the pastor. Oh, yeah. I mean, it don't matter. However, whatever works out. What's all these egos in the church?
Sure.
What's all this self in the church?
Right.
Never even crossed my mind. I kept bringing him in because they loved him. We got back there 40 teenagers, and over half of them had parents in the prison. And God moved in. Small town, Stark, Florida. The manager knew everybody. They all grew up together in Stark and Lottie, and Tiny. He shut the restaurant down and brought the staff back there. We had to line up 20 chairs to make an altar. We were leaping and shouting and running at the restaurant. God was saving them.
Amen.
Jimmy Brown got saved. Lived with his grandmother over in the awful little old sand shack project. Paula, the little sister, and she got saved. One morning and Sunday morning, I'm talking about putting away all them strange gods.
Yeah.
Terry and Paula brought a paper sack. Grocery sack. You don't have them no more because of the communists. And they come up to the altar and looked at me. Preacher. And they're setting it down. And it had some Daisy Duke shorts. Just extremely immodest. It had a couple of halter tops. Very immodest. It had three or four rock and roll, rock music CDs. And it had a little bit of marijuana. They said, preacher, we're going to live for God.
Amen.
I said, amen. I said, we're going to give this to the Lord. What about that? I said, glory to God.
Amen.
I told the church 4 weeks later, we had enough to go into the back of two or three pickup trucks. Everybody started cleaning their life out.
Amen.
Amen.
Mamas would go in the baby nursery and bring trolls and witches out. troll dolls and witch dolls and all the Disney witches.
Amen.
And I didn't even hardly say nothing about it. They just, men were bringing boxes that we had to hide from everybody. I remember one old brother brought a big box, and he said, "Preacher, please don't look, and please don't let anybody see, but I want to burn it." Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm glad there's a tree we can hide things under.
Yeah.
Ooh, there's a tree we can hide things under.
Amen. Yes,
sir. Buried it under that tree.
Amen.
You ever get plugged into God Himself, it'll be a downward direction. You'll go under the tree.
Amen.
That ladder takes you on top where the tree takes you. But when it's time to go all the way with God, you'll go down and bury some things.
Amen.
Funny story I don't have time to tell, but I'm going to tell it anyway. And, dear time. We got the awfulest rumors started on us that night. We're a human sacrifice cult. Robert Roser, they brought a barrel, one of them, and I don't know what I'm talking about, you men help me, a 2-inch steel gauge. One of them barrels that weighed as much as a Volkswagen. 2.5 inch. And then they stuffed it too much, and it wouldn't burn. And so Ralph Wise went and got a big splitter with the blade on one end and a iron on the other. And then they went and got diesel fuel. They're doing their best to get a couple of ventilating holes in that thing. They'd soaked it with diesel. I told one of my teenage preacher boys, Chris Campbell, you remember back in the day. I said, "Brother Chris, you preach, son, while they're getting this fire going." Well, he went to shouting and preaching. And he went to preaching around that barrel. And them boys, other boys, went with him. And so the word came back later that we were beating drums and blue flames were shooting up. And we were dancing around the fire.
Yeah.
And by the time you gave that rumor a month, there was human sacrifice. I have no idea where that one came from, but I never did deny it. I said, "Yeah, we have church discipline at our church." I mean, it wasn't a lie, but it wasn't the truth, but it was, just the person I told us who needed to hear it. I said, "Yeah, we have church discipline down there." I said, "I wish you'd come sometime." I only tried to win sinners when I had a burden. Other than that, I was telling everybody off. Oh, dear time. I'm glad we can take Him abominations.
Yes, sir.
And give them to God.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad He takes our sins.
Amen.
By the way, you can get all the things out of your life, but there's stuff still in our mind.
Right.
And like Ezekiel's hidden wall, they're in our heart. And your best just to take yourself in the throne room of grace and ask the Lord to clean you out on a regular basis.
Sure.
Earthly abominations. What's in verse 8? What's in verse 8? Is that our next verse? What did I tell y'all? Yeah, there's earthly attachments. Verse 8, but Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. And she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. The name of it was called Alan Backeth. And that is the oak of much weeping. The oak of much weeping. And here this milk nurse, the baby nurse, and she was along to be that nurse. And doesn't God have tender things in our life? Doesn't God have little things that are gentle and tender and minister to us? And the young people may not understand, but them old milk nurses. And give them babies the nurture of a mother's bosom. I'm going to tell y'all something. If you ever get plugged into God, He may take all the baby things.
Sure.
You don't need a milk bottle no more.
Amen. That's good, preacher.
We need some strong meat Christians.
Amen.
You ever go with God in Joshua, He'll cut the manna off. And you'll live on the corn. The manna comes down for wilderness wanderers, for baby Christians.
Right.
Come down on a daily basis. Little bowls of frosted flakes. You can go look at what color, and they'd get a bowl of them, tasted like honey. And a tiger would rip through the wall and say, "They're great." Anyway, that, yeah, we've, that wouldn't, if you're 40 and under, just go on and it'll be on YouTube. That's what's wrong with America. They took our good cartoons. I didn't really mean that. And our good commercials. You know, you remember Kool-Aid, man? That thing would bust a wall down to get you some good Kool-Aid. Oh, yeah, bring it on. Where's the tiger? Well, that's for the morning. The Kool-Aid's for the afternoon. Oh, dear time. They'd get to little bowls of manna in the morning, but when it was time to kill giants.
Yeah.
It was time to conquer Jericho.
Right.
Yeah.
We're not just going to walk around and kick sand until God kills off a whole generation.
Right.
Then God quit sending the baby food every morning.
Right.
And it'll just show you a pile of corn.
Yep.
So now you got to learn to make flour out of that.
Yep.
You're going to have to grind it. You're going to have to save some of it and plant it. You're going to have to plow the ground before you plant it. You're going to have to pray for rain. You're going to have to keep the weeds up. Come on, y'all. You're going to bury your baby milk nurse. When you get plugged into God, they'll quit babying you. And it's time to go on. Now, what's the third one? I'm almost done tonight. Is it verse 19?
Yes.
Oh, there's the love of his life. Divine affections. Verse 19. I'm talking about when it goes from being about God's house to God himself. You're going to take a shovel and you're going to go down to the cross. There's going to be a lot of death in that chapter. You ever get plugged into God, he's going to kill everything in your world and put you in a brand new one. Look what happened here in verse 19. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. That's why you're going to need corn. Because you got some heavy days and hard nights coming. You know what that manna was? It was the incarnation of Christ. It came down from above to us miraculously. You know what that corn was? It's the resurrection. Buried. Died. Buried. Buried and died. And planted. And then came up in resurrection. Manna came down from heaven. Corn came up from the buried earth. You're going to need that because there's some hard days coming.
Sure.
Corn flakes ain't going to get you through, but corn bread will. Amen. All of them old mountain women used to make that real corn bread.
That's
right. Cook it on an iron skillet over an actual wood stove. Old sister. Sister Della Young by our house in Tennessee. Go down there and she'd have an apple pie on that wood stove in an iron skillet. Mmm. Y'all go on to Sam's Club if you want to. Sam never met Miss Della. Amen. Even though I do go with Jennifer on Saturdays and I do make my rounds, samples just over and over again. You say, it's your third time, sir. I've not made my mind up yet.
I have no shame. I'm an evangelist. We eat where we can, when we can. Well, you're going to give it away? I'm going to eat it.
You said it was a sample.
Yeah.
I was over here trying socks on. Thought you could sample the socks. Jennifer said, "Now we got to buy them." I said, "Why?" But anyway, she had more sense than I did. Sister Della Young, she'd make that cornbread. Boy, and it'd last 3 days. Got better every day.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
My daddy said they'd take them cat head biscuits to work. Grandma would make enough of them in the morning, feed 11 youngins and several grand youngins, and go to the field. Stick a biscuit in your pocket. And that thing will carry you. Amen. There wasn't no wok biscuits, little light flaky butter that you probably use margarine. You know what we need in our churches? You know what you need in your life? We better have some strong meat.
Sure.
Because there's some weeping days coming. You're going to bury the love of your life. God will take your heart. He needs to sanctify it. And you'll be like Abraham. And carry that boy up on that mountain. He believed in a resurrection.
Yes, sir.
But you know that he was sitting there thinking, I sent Ishmael away and didn't get him back. The faith side of him no doubt believed in a resurrection, but the flesh side of him was tore slam out of the frame. My experience is however much faith you need to do the next thing God's calling on you to do, you're going to have that much fear come out of your old nature. If you need that much faith for the next thing God's put in your life, the Holy Ghost will produce it.
Sure.
You just follow God. But your old man's going to produce the exact matching amount of fear. Don't think something's wrong with you, because there's a lot wrong with you.
Right.
You're normal. And pray like the old boy, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And there he buried his heart. There he buried his heart. God's going to take your heart along the way. Boy, that was something though, wasn't it? You reckon Leah's a type of the Jewish, that Jew nation? Gave him 10. And then Rachel gave him Joseph. And then Benjamin come out of Rachel's side. What about Joseph, a picture of Christ? Benjamin's the church. He had a little brother. He had all of them older brothers, that was the Jews. I'm going to tell y'all something, if you'll trust God, he'll give you what you want, but he'll give it to you later than you think, and he may take it earlier than you think. You better let God be enough. God better be enough. Go down to the last verse. There's earthly authorities. And Isaac died and gave up the ghost. And Isaac gave up the ghost in verse 29 and died. Was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him. Thank God they had been reconciled. Yeah. Earthly authorities. Let me tell y'all something. When this thing becomes about God himself, he'll be the only God. He'll be the only master in your life. God will arrange it. He'll remove all them earthly authorities. You remember when Elisha went down with Elijah into that Jordan? The only Bible college we got a record in the Bible had done went liberal by the time we seen them. 50 of them refused to get in the cross. 50 of them standing on the bank, sons of the prophets, down there at the school of the prophets, and they wouldn't get into the death waters of the Jordan. It's too easy to study this thing than it is to live this thing.
Right.
They looked at it, and they didn't believe in eternal security. They said, surely the Spirit of the Lord couldn't get him all the way to heaven. Took him and dropped him somewhere. I mean, I believe the Lord was in that school, but by the time we seen him, they done went liberal. I told my boys, finishing his third year, and Brother Crouch's boys, roommates, they managed to not get kicked out all this time. It's pretty good. More than I was expecting. Of course, that little camping trip nobody knew about. You know, they try it. They test it. But, I told my boy, you get down to that Bible college, they're going to try to take your Bible from you. They're going to try to take the Holy Ghost from you. If not all of them, some of them. Amen. Every great independent Baptist church starts a Bible college because they think they know what made their church great. And they try to tell a bunch of young men how to have a great church. Only problem is they're mistaken about what made it great. It wasn't the way that God did it with you. It's just that God did it with you. That way ain't going to work for nobody else. It works for you because God wants to do a special thing.
Yes, sir.
They'll take your Bible, and they'll take your unction. But I think he's going to be all right. Need to be tested. A school can't make a man. A school can't break a man.
Yes, right.
That's right.
If you wasn't a man of God when you went in, you ain't going to be a man of God when you come out.
Right.
That's exactly right.
That's funny. They'll claim, of every Bible college I know, will claim the two good preachers that came out of it, but somehow they don't claim the 10,000 failures. It's like, we did that. What did you? Didn't you do all that? We don't even know that. That day Elisha went down in there and they mocked him. Yeah. Thy head will be taken away from thee.
Yeah.
Your master be gone. You go back and read, there were some veiled threats.
Yeah.
We're going to have at you, buddy. As soon as y'all get done, Elijah's gone. Your ires, they were cracking their knuckles. They were as jealous of him as Joseph's brethren were. But oh, when he came back, he had a mantle on him.
Yes,
he slapped that Jordan and the waters parted.
Yeah.
They said the spirit of Elijah doth rest on him. And you don't hear from them 50 boys no more. I'm going to tell you something. There's going to come a day in your life you're going to see Elisha head off and you're going to cry, my father, my father. My father, my father. But he'll leave you a mantle and you'll need to pick that up and come back. Bring the power of God to another generation.
Amen.
You want to bury some things. Let God give you a shovel instead of a ladder. Let God give you a shovel instead of a ladder. Our heads are bowed. I want everybody to stand. Brother Lancaster, y'all think you could come back with the guitar? Maybe play the guitar for a while and then maybe sing a little later. How many of you would like to join me around the altar and pray that this thing would become about God Himself? It'd be bigger than religion, bigger than a structure, bigger than something you can put your hands on. When it becomes about God Himself, and it gets bigger than God's house, let's find us a place and pray. We need some spirit-filled Christians. Need some spirit-filled churches. Y'all come on around the pulpit, Brother Lancaster, and just obey the Lord. I love you. You're a blessing to me.